Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It will not be a Barbara Dyson Ford, Jim Traber Monday. He's off. So, you know what? If he's off, we gave him the day off. But he'll be back next Monday. Thanks again to Barbara Dyson Ford here in Elk City. Having him out last Thursday to hang out with us throughout the show. That was a fun day. And he'll continue to come on with us most every Monday, especially as we gear up for football season coming in just a couple of months. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, it's almost here. And so we'll be having him, obviously, on most Mondays. This one, he's off, so we gave him the day off. That being said, all kinds of stuff on the docket. You got, Major League Baseball has been going on for a long, long time. And when you do something that's never been done, it's a pretty amazing feat. And I know we've talked about Shohei Ohtani a little bit throughout the season, but once again, he did something this weekend that's never been done. A horrible story from down in Georgia. Did you see this?
I just
the
now
Club
read
Pro
it.
Thing?
Yeah. That's
crazy story down there.
Yeah, that is so horrible.
We'll talk about that a little bit. Good weekend on the recruiting trail for both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Good week, especially if we go back for OSU to the flip of Talon Shetron and his brother. We'll talk about that. Quade Cummins of Weatherford took a nice little step toward a Corn Ferry Tour card with a fantastic weekend of golf down at Auburn at the Auburn University Club. NBA Finals are set. The Bucks defeated the Hawks 4-2. So now it's Bucks, Suns coming up tomorrow night, game one out in Phoenix. Someone's legacy is going to take a huge leap, either Giannis or CP3. Will anybody watch? Will Giannis play? Can the Bucks win without Giannis? Does it even matter? Is this all kind of CP3's moment? Also, give a little salute to Trae Young and the Hawks. Reminds me a little bit of a season Oklahoma City had years ago, to be quite honest. We'll talk about our weekends. One of the grossest things in sports happened yesterday, as it does annually. Hot dog eating. What a machine Joey Chestnut is. Just a machine. Can you imagine? I wonder if he... Do you think he eats 76 hot dogs in a year?
That's it. We eat a lot of hot dogs in our house.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'd say there is zero...
When we're like, what do you want? I don't know. Well, let's just cook some hot dogs. So we do eat a lot of hot dogs. But
there is zero chance.
I don't know
chance.
If we ate that much.
There's zero chance much. I eat 76 in a year. I don't even eat 30 probably with the women's champ.
You know what I'm going to start doing? Keeping count now. I'm going
to
start...
That's what you need to do.
Something on my fridge.
That's exactly right. Make a little mark and see how many you eat all year.
I average 2 per serving. So, I don't know. that's interesting.
All right, we'll talk about all of that coming up. That's what we got on tap. All right, Jared, how was your weekend?
Very uneventful, which was pretty much the plan. Didn't go anywhere, really. Went to a birthday party Saturday night, which was at one of the campsites at the lake. That was kind of cool.
Okay.
Really, yesterday, just nothing. Stayed home and just enjoyed the holiday. That was it. I mean, the weather was pretty good. Not too hot, not too cool. It was just an overall nice day. Nice weekend.
What
had people over last night for the food and fireworks. Of course, girls got a kick out of the fireworks, and it was a nice, well-rounded evening.
What was on the menu?
Oh, man, a beautiful platter of sandwich stuff. I can't stress how beautiful it was. It looked just fantastic.
Presentation is a key.
It was. I don't know if you've seen. My wife, I think, put some on Facebook. It just a big, wide variety of meats and cheeses. Even had Daddy's Miracle Whip out there. I'm the only one who eats the Miracle Whip. I mean, it on croissant rolls or any kind of bread you wanted. I scoffed at it earlier, on Friday, I know. But now I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. I thought we were just going to have white bread and, you know, simple ham sandwiches.
Right.
But no, it was, and we had some really good chicken salad, had mac and cheese, had, I mean, there's something else. Oh, and we had angel food cake for dessert with strawberries. I mean, it turned out to be a nice dinner.
Well, cool. 'Cause
there wasn't a lot of us there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get the argument of why cook a ton of food when there's not going to be a bunch of people here. So let's do something light. It's not hard, but still filling, you know. So that was on the menu. Of course, snacked all day and, you know,
so does,
consumed beverages.
Does Canute have a fireworks display, like a citywide one?
Nothing official.
Okay.
But it's basically you could pop your lawn chair out in your driveway and you could watch everyone's, I mean, you could see it over the rooftops.
So yeah, it was the citizens putting on the fireworks.
Oh,
display.
Absolutely. It was not like where we all say, let's all meet at Main Street and pop them, which I think would be cool. But now everyone just does it off their front lawn or backyard or whatever. If you're not enjoying your fireworks, just look across the way and you could see
somebody
the neighbor's fireworks. And it almost makes me think, why am I spending this much money on these fireworks when I could just watch the other ones? But is what it is. It's neat. I mean, it's self-regulated, I guess, is how it works. Which, like most small towns, you know, and it's controlled. It's good. It's fun, real fun. You know what I like about 4th of July in small town, and in particular Canute, they have a great Lions Club over there, and part of their fundraiser is you pay a certain amount for the entire year. In each day that basically is a federal holiday where you are to more or less fly a flag, they come and put a flag in your yard. I'm sure you've seen that. And
yes.
It's really cool when you're driving through town and you see American flags in front of almost everybody's yard. I'm like, man, this is small town USA at its finest, right?
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Don't tell a few of the members of the House of Representatives that.
Don't tell them that?
No. They'll be triggered seeing all those American flags.
Oh, yeah. Well, another fine reason why I live in this part of the country.
Exactly. Think your lucky stars are not in Colorado.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota. Or some of that nonsense. Well, that's great.
I had something that really almost ruined my evening last night.
Oh, no. What was it?
Have you ever been plagiarized?
I don't know.
I found something where my work is being plagiarized, my news.
Oh, really?
That I write, that I put time in and effort in and research in. I found a certain community-wide Facebook page. I won't say the name because my lawyer is currently writing up a cease and desist letter. And it really shook me. Talk about being triggered. I've never felt that anger before.
Wow.
So if you're listening and you know who you are, you better stop doing it. And that's the nicest way I can say it, Aaron.
Huh.
I'm probably getting a little red faced right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
It really upset me. To the point my wife would yell at me, you need to let it go. Let it go. So I said, yeah, you know, I'll just let it go and I'll deal with it on Monday. Yeah. Straight up copy and paste.
Really?
Yeah, not even trying to alter it. It's word for word plagiarism. And it's a huge no-no in the news biz. And I am, I say my lawyer, my friend that's a lawyer who gives me free law advice, but he said, I'll write you a letter.
Huh.
But the problem is I got to find out who it is.
Figure out where to send it.
Yeah. That's the first step. But that's just an on-air warning I'm going to give, and it's the only warning I'm going to give.
All right, I like it.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk sports.
Well, darn it.
Sorry.
You didn't want to know what I cooked?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
I mean, that was a little bit rude.
I'm sorry. I know we went and picked up some
I asked about your sandwiches. Do you want to hear about my
meat? I would love to hear how it went. Now, what did you cook it on? Did you use the...
Well, we did multiple things.
Okay.
On Saturday, played golf at Sayre, the 4-man scramble, got third.
It's unacceptable.
The real highlight, though, was afterwards. Everybody kind of hung out and then got a little, you know, scramble matchup for a few holes.
Okay.
With everybody that was still hanging out. And myself and my wife and one of our co-workers, our newest co-worker.
Okay.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
We were clearly the underdog with the teams the way they were drawn up. And it worked out that at the end, the underdogs were accepting a $5 bill from the other players. I know he's gonna talk some trash about that, I think, on his noon show. and rightfully so. I mean, it was like they thought they could take advantage. A few people thought they could take advantage of maybe a little bit mildly overserved Skinny and Jimmy. It turned out they couldn't. So that was fun. Now and then we made some of those sausages that you and I commandeered on Friday.
Yeah.
Both were delicious. Totally different taste to the sausages, but they were both, you know, it was pretty well split down the middle of which one people thought were better. Mm. And so it was kind of a taste, but they were both
not a bad reaction.
No, it's not.
This is good. No, this one's good. And they, so you really couldn't go wrong.
No, I think that was the takeaway that I got from it was equally delicious.
Good.
And, you know, there wasn't just a landslide on one way because everyone had kind of a, it was about 50-50 split. And I, in my own mind, I'm still not 100% sure which side I fall, which makes it even better, right?
Yeah.
Because they were both good.
Right.
Let's see. We cooked that pork loin that was wrapped in bacon and stuffed with chicken and jalapeno. It was delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
That was for kind of like lunch yesterday after church. And then I'd been, ever since I was able to get that Yoder pellet grill over to the house after my dad died. That was kind of, that's one of the things that I got because my mother wasn't going to use it.
Right.
I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to cook a brisket.
Yeah.
And we just happened to have some Tucker beef from one of the local ranchers here in Beckham County.
Yeah.
And so I thought, you know what? I've been wanting to cook that thing ever since we got it. And that's been a few months ago. Like, this is the perfect time. I'm doing it. I don't care if anybody's coming over or not. I'm cooking those briskets. And then we also had some beef ribs that were left over from a different slaughtering of a cow from way back. Anyhow, so I cooked them both.
Man.
And it was amazingly simple.
Oh, yeah?
Literally the only way you can mess this up because of that smoker, and it's a pellet one, you know?
Yeah.
Literally the only way you can mess it up are two ways. One, run out of pellets. Or two, quit paying attention and overcook it.
Yeah.
As long as you pay a lick of attention. It is simple. You literally turn it on. Plug it in, turn it on.
Right.
Tell it what temperature to go to.
Boom.
And it goes.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry. Every time I went out there, it was within like 2 degrees of the set temperature.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. That's the hardest part is regulating the temperature, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unless it just does it for you.
Sure. Yeah, see, you shouldn't have said this on air. She said, oh, it was so hard to make.
No, I'm not going to lie.
I was sweating over the grill. No,
I'm not going to lie.
This was hard to.
It was simple. It was almost, I mean, I've seen everybody else use them, but I've never been a part of like a long cook like that.
Yeah.
On a smoker like that, because it seems like the times I've done it, it's been like one of those big normal ones. And you do have, you know, the airflow and you know, he also almost got to pay attention to where the wind is. So if it's a little bit calmer to get it aimed to where some wind will blow and get it going or what have you. This wasn't like that at all.
Wow.
I mean, it's literally that's the only two ways you can mess up is not pay attention and cook it too long or run out of pellets. And I was pleasantly surprised at the amount of pellets that were still left after 9+ hours of cooking.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
There's still.
I've always been amazed by that.
I think that hopper. I don't know how many pounds of them it'll hold. It's a huge. You know, I would guess. I don't know if it'd hold a whole 20-pound bag, but it for sure half of it or so.
Yeah.
To fill it to the top, and there was probably 2/3 gone. I mean, 1/3 left. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, golly, that was 9.5 hours. How long can I go
without
having to refill it?
Right.
You know, if it was going to go longer, obviously I'd have bought more because I didn't have any more. But anyway, pleasantly surprised.
Well, good.
At how easy it was. I found myself wondering about, like, flavors.
Yeah.
Of the pellets.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What goes and what, I mean, there was just, it was a whole hopper full and like a little bit in a bag that was left over. And it was kind of a pecan.
Yeah.
Which was pretty, kind of a light flavor smoke, which I liked. I think it would have been perfect, like chicken or something like that, where it's not too overpowering. But, yeah, I'll be doing that
again. I'm hearing that you made a lot of food. Did you have any leftovers?
There is. And here's the problem, Jared. I was going to bring them. And then my phone buzzed at 5:45, and I ran out the door with my hair on fire and forgot it.
Did you get here that early?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
To figure out what was going on wrong.
I didn't see the message until my alarm went off.
Yeah, well, I heard it buzzing, and I was like, oh, no. Because here's the deal, Jared. We get to do this, and everybody knows this from, you know, doing this or whatever, but in all actuality, our real jobs here are totally different than this.
Yeah, this is just an hour of our day.
Yeah, so when my phone buzzes that early in the morning, it puts me in panic mode.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Yeah.
It sure does something. I couldn't tell you. It's fixed. I couldn't tell you what went wrong.
We're on air, and that's all.
That's right. Yeah. And we literally didn't miss anything because thankfully Nathan gets here as early as he does, and we got it back on track before a single ad played. So that was nice. But anyhow, no. So I will bring.
Sounds like a successful cooking weekend.
It was totally successful, and then just where we live. And where it's situated, I probably shouldn't say this on air because people, if they know where it is, then we'll probably have a traffic jam next year on 4th of July. But where we live is literally the perfect spot to watch the town of Sayers fireworks.
Oh, really?
Because we are perched up above the park and above the golf course. And we're perched up high on the hill, and the fireworks shoot off, and there's a tree that's kind of in our yard, not really our yard, but just in the way, that's kind of on the right of way or whatever. And then there's another huge tree that's on the golf course on the right side of number 5. And those two, I always kind of forget before they start. You know, because, listen, people buy fireworks that are almost like the fireworks now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, we're sitting there going, okay, which one is which? I mean, where is it going to be? We're not 100% sure where they're going to shoot them off from. And I always forget. And then I'm making a mental note, and then I forget it. But where they were, man, they went straight up just above the tree line of both of those trees or the sight lines. So it was just perfect.
Awesome.
And just boom, and it looks like you're going, it's like popping right at your head. And we're high enough to where we're not necessarily dead on eye level. You have to look up just a little bit, but not a ton. And so it really is the best spot. And here's the question I ask. And we'll go to break with this. So it looks like where we're at, it's just bursting right at us.
Yeah.
What do you think it looks like on the other side?
That's the thing. You got to think three-dimensionally, right?
Do you think it looks exactly the same
on the other side?
Because it's round?
Yeah. I think so.
So how can it be popping both directions?
I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't. Hey, we've got an answer to the question. According to Gabe Edney, which I think I do believe he's probably right. You know what I'm saying? I think that this is the right answer.
Yeah, I think so.
With his drone watching the Elk City fireworks, they were higher than the fireworks. They all looked the same no matter where you were looking from. And that makes sense because it's a circle.
Right, right.
I think it's just the visual. It's more of an illusion that it's coming at you.
Right at you, yeah.
But that does make sense. And I also saw the drone footage from last night. Somebody had it on Facebook.
That's cool.
And then we were actually able, after the Sarawins were over, we were taking my wife's uncle and his buddy back to where they were staying with Kara's dad. And out north of Sayre, we're looking back to the east, we could see right on the horizon. It was like perfect because you're going just high enough on the horizon. So we could see the Elk City ones,
you know,
as well.
Where we live, our house, the backyard faces the east, and we don't have a fence. Just mm-hmm. to, you know, and then there's a big wheat field. We can see tons of fireworks on the horizon.
Yeah.
On a clear day, I can see the wind turbines at Weatherford.
Yeah.
So that's how far I can see. And I didn't make a note to look towards Clinton, but in the past I've seen Clinton's.
Been able to see them,
yeah. They're small, you know, size mm-hmm. of maybe your thumbnail. But I've seen some near Burns Flatway. But, you know, there's everyone just – that's a night you want to get up in a plane, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing because you're sitting there and all across the horizon from, you know, close or miles back. Because even before the real one started – and by the way, did you see the meme this weekend?
No, what?
One of my cousins, Joshua Haven, was messing with his brother, Bray's twin brother. And he had the meme of, you know, it's almost like your fantasy football team. Nobody really wants to hear it. And it's the same way with your, like, fireworks show that you think you're putting on. And you think you're outdoing the city.
Yeah.
You're not.
No.
You're really not. I mean, it's cool. And it's gotten closer through the years. I mean, that people can buy them that are really pretty impressive. But it's not the same. And so what I'm saying is don't video your fireworks display.
Oh, right, right.
Don't video your fireworks
display.
I'm
guilty. My kid she had a sparkler.
You got a little kid with a sparkler. That's different than thinking.
And it looked cool because she was dancing to the Ray Charles song, you know.
Yeah.
I was like,
listen,
that's sweet. So I took this little video of it.
That's different than posting on Facebook like you outdid the town.
Right, right.
You didn't outdo the town.
The most pointless firework is the Black Cat.
I would love to go back. It was surprisingly quiet. In our neighborhood. Well, not surprised. I mean, there's older people there.
A little bit too quiet.
But it was like, man, nobody's really even popping anything. And then all of a sudden, we're sitting there, and we think that the cities are about to start. And then you hear this, thump. Look up right above our house, and bam, it kind of scared everybody. Like, oh, here we go.
Here we go.
And then I'm going to have to go ask the neighbor how big a pack of black cats that was. It sounded like hail on a tin roof.
Yeah.
Forever. Minutes.
Yeah.
Was it just the whole Black Cat factory?
The long strand of it, and it can go on for minutes. I'm more of a fireworks at night. I want to see the different varieties of colors and stuff. You know, your kids get a kick out of that. But just the light, a long strand of black cats. And then the mess it leaves. And one year, my neighbors did it, and it blew in my yard, and I was not happy because they left them in the, you know, and just red paper everywhere,
right, and just light
all
it.
In my yard because the wind was out of the south. And I'm like, come on, man. Okay, you do. Come clean up your mess, please. I don't see any point to it, but whatever. 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 Hot dog eating contest.
Yeah,
I got something to say about this.
Listen, here's the thing about the hot dog eating contest. It's disgusting.
It's absolutely
it's
disgusting.
Really disgusting to watch. You know, if you have to dip your bun into water to be effective, maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
But, I mean, you know, who are the people in the front row watching this?
Rooting them on, screaming, getting them
hot dog on you? Because you know the way that they're just mowing those down without any regard for human decency. Some of that spittle and some of that has to be going out in the crowd, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the first three rows, you will get wet.
Oh, it's like the splash zone at Shamu or something.
That's so gross. Can we quit pretending these guys are athletes?
Who's saying they're an athlete?
Everybody on Twitter and Facebook after Joey Chestnut won it and he set the record and all this stuff, and they're saying he's a goat just like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady and... Come on.
Now listen.
Give me a break.
It's not a sport. There is a huge...
It's a sideshow.
There's a huge talent to being able to do this. But it's not a sport related talent.
This is it's a 4th of July tradition.
It is a tradition.
You know, if I'm in New York on Coney Island on the 4th of July, sure, I'm going to go by Nathan's Famous, or I guess this year they had it in a ballpark, but I'd go by there to see it. Look at this.
I wouldn't.
I mean, just to say, yeah, I was there one year.
Ugh.
I got a t-shirt and a hot dog while I was there.
Now, listen, I like Nathan's Famous hot dogs. They're delicious.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
If I was going to have a hot dog, that'd be the one I'd have.
But we need to quit pretending this is a sport.
It's not a sport.
It's not a sport.
He ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's like...
Where does it go?
That's like one every 7.9 seconds.
Is he chewing it?
It's just...
This doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. I mean, how is he today? What does he do at post-game?
I don't want to know the answer to that, Jared.
Does he go back? Does he have to regurgitate?
Oh, dear.
Does he have to?
No, you're not supposed to. No, you can't.
He has to keep it down?
Yeah, you lose if you do that.
Well, I know that, but like after the fact, like after he's holding up the belt, game over, he goes home.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he emptying it? Is he getting it out of there?
At some point he is.
Well, yeah. I mean, nothing lasts forever, but I just, man.
Have you ever seen the video? I cannot remember her name. It's a little bitty lady where she mows down the two steaks at the Big Texan
in six minutes. Yeah.
It looks like one of those National Geographic videos where a lion is just like tearing apart a hippo or something,
right.
Or a zebra.
Yeah.
How in the world? I just don't.
Competitive eating. I just don't get it. They introduced something yesterday. I watched it. I watched it from start to finish. They did the drinking of the lemonade. Like, there's a race to drink this big. And when they put the two guys, there was one real huge guy, then the skinny guy. I'm like, well, the huge guy's going to win.
Yeah, that doesn't always work that way, though,
in this competitive eating. I know.
Yeah, you'd think the big fat guy would surely win.
Oh, and he did that one, yeah.
But how do you qualify
for that? Do you have to go around and you have to win different regions? You know, you represent your state. I mean, how do you qualify to go to different competitive eating, licensed competitive eating competitions?
Or do you just enter?
I mean, I don't think that's the case, because then any Joe Blow would just enter that thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, but
you know, I mean,
me and you eating three and feeling like we did something. 73 away.
You ever want to sit down and try that?
No, I don't. I don't like hot dogs that much.
Oh, okay.
And here's the deal. For me to really like a hot dog, I need like chili and cheese on
it.
Well, that isn't going to be any
good. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe bust two or three and then you're done.
If you could just sign up, I'd say, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this.
You're going to do it one time?
I sit down and I just take my time eating them. Go, yeah, I'm not going to win this thing. I'm just here for the free hot dogs.
let me ask you this. Is there a certain food where you think, man, I can eat a lot of that?
Wings. Wings, yeah. I'll order wings, and when I'm done, I'm disappointed because I want one more. You know what I mean? Like, man, I already ate them all.
So you're thinking like a dozen?
Sure. Yeah. I'm bone-in wings, man. You talk about disgusting. That's when you want to see me eat like a pig. I mean, I'm diving in. It's all over my fingers. I'm holding my drink weird because I don't want to get. I mean, I dive into wings. So, yeah, probably wings. How about you?
Probably pizza.
Pizza, yes.
I feel like I could probably, I hate to admit this, but if you had to, I could probably eat, if it was thin crust.
Yeah.
I could probably eat a large pizza.
If you had to. I'm guilty of that.
How about this in the wing category?
Yeah.
Molly Schuyler. She ate 501 wings in 30 minutes. Just set a wing bowl record back in 2018.
That is insane. How do you know when you officially eat a wing?
Because there's
some
great
meat
question.
Left over on the bone, you know?
That's a great question. Joey Chestnut ate 413 at Georgia Hooters National.
And I caught a little bit of the 30 for 30.
I've seen that. Yeah, what happened to Kobayashi?
Basically banned, I think.
Oh.
There's some kind of, I'd have to look into it.
See, he's the one.
He can't enter anymore.
He was the one that kind of put it on the map for real, was Kobayashi.
Yeah.
And then Joey Chestnut started beating him, and I was wondering what, you know, there was a, decade and a half ago, that was a big deal for those two to go at it.
Yeah, yeah. There's really no competition for this Chestnut guy.
Yeah, he's won 14 of them, six straight.
Yeah.
Takeru Kobayashi.
Anyways, yeah, I actually watched that.
I missed it, but
my
did.
My kid thought it was hilarious. She
it's just disgusting.
And it just makes me hungry every time I watch. Man, I really want a hot dog.
Man, it's just gross. It just is gross. All right, NBA Finals are set with the Bucks winning over the weekend in Game 6 in Atlanta. So now it's Bucks Suns in the finals. Let's see, Phoenix has never won it. Whoa.
Sorry about that.
Milwaukee hasn't won in 50 years since 1971. So it's going to be, you know, that new blood that we've talked about throughout this playoff run that people say they enjoy. We'll see if they really do. You know, I was pretty skeptical on Friday about the ratings. You know, you're not hearing about how the ratings are from the NBA media, which would lead me to believe that they're not very good. Otherwise, you'd be hearing about it over and over and over. And so we'll see how that goes. I would imagine. I mean, if you're ABC or ESPN or whoever, TNT, I think each and every year you would hope and pray to see like the Lakers and Celtics in the finals, because that would give you the ratings wise. But from a standpoint of us just wanting to kind of enjoy basketball, this seems like it ought to be a lot of fun. Now, if Giannis doesn't play, I don't know. Maybe it loses some luster, and I think that's why, you know, before Trey got hurt, with the way that, you know, when both those things happen, you know, people were kind of angling to whichever team has their star is the one you want to see play Phoenix. So, you know, Young tried to play. It was rough, and obviously Giannis still not playing. Now, there were reports leading into Game 6 of that Eastern Conference Finals that if Atlanta won and forced a Game 7, that Giannis would be ready. So hopefully those are true. And then that means tomorrow night we'll see, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo. But even then, isn't it kind of hard to believe that he'd be anywhere near 100% if he's just not able go in Game 6, you know, to try to punch your ticket to the finals?
He's going to do whatever it takes to get on the court, but I don't think he's going to be 100%. And that's just the big question, kind of like we had about Trey, and we got our answer. He wasn't 100% effective, so even if he's on the court, Giannis, if he's on the court, how effective is he going to be? You know, I don't know if him 100% is able to beat this Phoenix team right now.
Yeah, Phoenix, you know, after Chris Paul came back the first couple of games, a little bit of rust from the layoff that he had, not only with the Suns winning their series early in the semifinals, but also the COVID, where he had to take a couple games off. They were pretty rusty. You know, they win the one game 84-80, lowest scoring game of the season in the NBA. And then it doesn't go very well back trying to close it out in Game 5 at home. But then they put on a masterpiece in Game 6. So, you know, once again, though, Phoenix is the layoffs. They've had a ton of them. But with Chris Paul's injury history, especially in playoff runs, you know, maybe you don't the rust versus rest. Maybe rest wins out in this situation, so that he is as completely healthy as he can possibly be. Because I think we saw, you know, they won some games without him, but it was really sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Milwaukee can score with or without Giannis, especially when those guys like Middleton play like he did. Drew Holiday seemed to kind of snap out of his funk the last couple of games. And so, it seems like it's set up to be really entertaining with both teams. You know, Phoenix plays good defense, but maybe not always. Who stops Giannis? Who do they have that can try to guard him? And then on the other side, you know, how did the Bucks try to kind of corral Chris Paul in his effort to get everything going? I think this is a fun matchup, especially if we can get some sort of Giannis, some type of healthy, to be able to go against Chris Paul, because one of those two guys is about to change their legacy forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we will tomorrow, like picking the series, but I mean, you say that, but I've been thinking about this all weekend long. How do I feel about this series? Is it going to be competitive? You know, can Giannis go? What does it look like if he can't go? All that stuff. Everything I throw out there and then I keep going back to, I just think Phoenix is just the heavy favorite. It's just a personal opinion of mine. I'm not going by anything I've seen or read or going by what Vegas tells me. I just keep thinking, this just feels like it's, you know, I see you put CP3's moment. It just feels like this is Phoenix's moment to win this thing, finally.
It's pretty interesting because both of these teams feel fairly similar in the way they were built. I mean, obviously, neither is some sort of super team.
Right, and we love this, right?
Yes. Now, you know, the acquisition of Chris Paul in the offseason for Phoenix has obviously buoyed their chances, but it's not. I mean, there was nobody howling at the moon when that trade was made.
No, everyone said, "Hey, that's a nice spot.
That's kind of cool for him to finish up his career.
Yeah, that's
with some young guys. And
he'll help that team a little bit. You know, we were happy for him as Oklahoma City fans because we love the guy and we are happy that he found a home that he could be happy in, being a competitive place. You know, we just didn't dump him to a Minnesota or something. We sent him to a place he wanted to be at. And everybody was kind of, that's a little golf clap. That's a nice place for him. But I don't think anybody saw it immediately get into the finals, no.
No, I don't either. Even as much as he's done, you know, going to Houston and having the Rockets with Harden, you know, just a step away from knocking off the evil empire at Golden State and then him getting hurt and it didn't happen. You know, obviously here last year and the way that team, you know, after Thanksgiving it had the second best record in the whole league, which was, I mean, nobody could even fathom that. And it's just, but it's funny to me, and maybe it's because everyone's remembering last year or even the Hornet years a little bit more fondly, but it's funny to me how many people, listen, 5 or 6 years ago, in the midst of the Thunder's great run, one of the thorns in the side was the Clippers, and nobody liked Chris Paul. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of funny to hear everybody going, oh, yeah, I root for CP3. I can't – he's just been so lovable. No, he wasn't. And nobody liked him in those Clippers runs.
Maybe that just shows the maturity of – you know, a fan base grows with the franchise. Yeah. Maybe it just shows, you know what, at the time, we don't have to like the guy if he's going against our team. You know what I mean? It's a leave it on the court situation, right? Because he was pesky. He was, I mean, he was.
That's one way for
it. Thorn in the side, absolutely.
Dirty would be another way.
Yeah, but and then after the series, okay, we're done with you. And it helps out. You know, they won. Oklahoma City, that is. You know, if they had lost, it'd be like, oh, that's the guy. Who beat us, you know, but yeah. So again, maybe it's just the maturation of the fan base. Like, okay, we can leave it on the court.
Right.
You know, some fan bases don't get that.
But I also think that when you get to see a guy night in, night out, you kind of figure out what he's all about.
Yeah.
And being able to watch just the way that he helped that young team mature. I mean, I heard Jim say this last week that he thinks at some point, you know, a guy like Shea is going to say playing that year with CP3 really helped, or Devin Booker, but that really changed the trajectory of my career. And I think that's probably true because you get to see, you know, one of the best to ever do it. And that's the thing, you know, I was kind of racking my brain once the Phoenix got there. You know about the Barclays and the Ewings and the, you know, Stockton Malone that never won the title, but got to try for it, you know, got to play for it. Chris Paul was kind of in a spot by himself with not ever even making it to the finals. You know, I can't even think of anybody that's guaranteed first ballot Hall of Fame superstar, one of the top, you know, however many fingers you want to put up, 5 for sure point guards of all time. Maybe top 3 point guard of all time.
Yeah.
And to never even get to the finals. There's just not very many guys like that out there. And I really can't think of, you know, who has never played for the title. And so that's something that, you know, I think probably he was always destined to do. It just took longer for it to actually happen. But now that he's there, you know, and like you said, the way that Phoenix is playing, you got to think that they're the favorite. Home court advantage is on their side. And, you know, with some of the struggles that the other guys for Milwaukee have had, you got to think that Phoenix is the favorite, but you never know. I mean, only one guy. Did you know that only one guy has played in the NBA Finals on either team?
Yes.
And it was last year.
I just saw that name.
Jay Crowder.
Yes.
Jay Crowder is the only player on either team that's ever played in the NBA Finals.
That makes it more fun to me.
Yeah, so you don't know how they're going to react.
First time they've both been on this huge stage, yeah.
Phoenix has played for the title twice, never won it. They lost in 76 to Boston, 93 to the Bulls. Milwaukee hasn't won since 1971. With a guy named Lou Alcindor on the team. I mean, that's just how long ago. I mean, so, you know, and none of these guys – and that's kind of cool, though, because to me that means these guys – the teams kind of grew together. What's built from the ground up.
Yeah.
Because there's not a bunch of different players, you know, flying around. Sure, there are a few, but not a ton. Most of these guys have been kind of drafted and nurtured and then filling in the spots here and there when you see what you really need.
Yeah.
You know, but I just, you know, Milwaukee's been building to this. And I think, you know, preseason there was people picking them to win it all. Phoenix is different than that. I mean, they had literally the worst record the previous 5 years of any team in any major sport to play for a title the next year. They'd only won 30% of their games the last 5 years.
I think this year for Phoenix was supposed to be the next step year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're ahead of schedule.
It's almost like the 2010 or 2011 Thunder.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to be playing Dallas in the NBA in the Western Conference Finals.
Right. Right.
You know, you make the playoffs the year before, Lakers beat you in six, first round. Then, okay, next year you win a round, and then you're going to climb the ladder. Yeah, both. You know, Phoenix skipped a bunch of steps.
Right.
On the road to the finals. Whereas Milwaukee, they've been climbing that ladder, getting knocked down. And I wonder how much, because it's kind of the same team, how much extra, not motivation, but just the battle scars and the scar tissue, how much that helps them to handle the adversity of the moment versus a team that they're not just happy to be there. Obviously, they were trying to win the title. And Chris Paul changes that dynamic a ton. But Phoenix hasn't had to – those guys outside of Chris Paul don't have scar tissue because they've never been there.
Yeah. Now, it helps that they've skipped these steps with injuries, with other teams' injuries.
Oh, sure.
Right. Let's not gloss over the fact that they got a little help with Kawhi being out and
LeBron. Anthony Davis, I mean.
Anthony Davis. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, that
– Jamal Murray.
That's just – part of the game, though. You know, you can't – they're not going to apologize for the other guy. You know, hey, we're not going to apologize for it.
You think Chris Paul's going to apologize?
No.
About somebody being hurt in the playoffs when that's all that's ever happened to him?
Yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
He's not putting some kind of asterisk by his ring if he wins it.
No.
He's saying that's the breaks. And if those breaks wouldn't have went against me all these years, I might have already done this.
Right.
Yeah, that's just – but it is kind of weird. How you think about that. Anthony Davis, you know, he's in the first series. Jamal Murray obviously wasn't there for Denver. And then Kawhi wasn't there for the Clippers. And now you've got Giannis and how he will be in the finals. But it's going to be fun, I think.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. We can pick it tomorrow. So kind of mulling what I think is going to happen.
Like I said earlier, I have an opinion, and I keep trying to talk myself out of it, but I keep going back to it. So
I do think there's something to that, trying to climb the mountain, getting knocked down, doing it again, getting knocked down. I do think there's something to that in the NBA, but I don't know if it's going to be enough for Milwaukee. All right, so I mentioned Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Do you know what he became the first person to do?
Two-way all-star.
Yes.
Not a starter. Is he a starter? Yes, he is.
Two-way all-star.
Two-way all-star, yeah.
Both on the mound and at the plate. Let's get a league-high 31 home runs. He crushed another. You know, it's weird to watch a lefty because, you know, it seems like a lot of times left-handed batters are more like low-ball hitters. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like that to me. But he's a guy that can take it. It seems like it's in his eyes, and not only hit it, but hit it hard and hit it way out of the park. Just not something it seems like you see all the time. So, once again, you have this guy doing things that literally nobody's ever done, and Major League Baseball isn't doing anything about it to promote it. Instead, we're worried about pitchers dropping their drawers out on the mound, getting checked twice an inning for illegal substances. It's just so dumb. It's so frustrating.
It is.
And, you know, it's just, I don't know. Well, first off, there's really not a strategy. But it almost feels like that Major League Baseball is trying to run guys like me and you off and try to find a totally new crowd. But they're doing it. They're not even doing it right. So, anyway, but Ohtani, yeah. Ohtani's been a heck of a story, and just a lot of fun to watch.
Now, have they announced any participants, like in the Home Run Derby? Have they announced anything like that? Because I've seen that, you know, obviously, you know, I keep a close eye on my Texas Rangers. I would love to see Joey Gallo in a Home Run Derby. You know what I mean? I don't know if they've announced that.
Let's see.
You Googling it up?
Yep, right here.
Anything?
Details. Let's look here. I was thinking there was a couple. He's going to do it, isn't he?
Ohtani is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I remember he was saying he would do it. I just want to know the full field. I don't know if that's been set, or maybe it has. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm seeing the. I can tell you who's going to be announcing it.
Back, 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 back.
Oh my gosh!
Not Chris Berman.
I don't see him. I'm sure he will.
Who will be in the home run derby? Let's see. Nah, I'm just not giving a.
May not be completely finalized yet.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Kane Brown's going to play in the celebrity softball game.
Stop the presses.
You know who is JoJo Siwa?
Yeah. Oh, come on. I'm a girl, Dad. It's Siwa. JoJo Siwa.
Know.
Yeah.
So you know this person.
Yeah, she's
it's a she.
A singer / YouTube star. Girls love her.
The Miz?
Oh, yeah, you know The Miz.
I know The Miz.
Yeah, you know The Miz.
CeCe Sabathia? Jenny Finch?
Oh.
Worth watching.
Yep.
Larry Walker?
Well, it's Colorado.
Yeah, I wonder how those... Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. The current field.
Got it.
Trevor Story of the Rockies. Pete Alonso of the Mets, Shohei Ohtani, and Trey Mancini. Current field. I would imagine there'd be a few more.
Yeah.
This article was written last week.
Wouldn't you like to see, like, Guerrero?
Oh, man. And
Junior and Tatis Jr.
Absolutely.
And,
yes.
You want those big names. It's kind of hard to get those guys to do it, but.
Yeah, it's a little bit like the dunk contest in that regard,
and
but it didn't used to be that way. See, that's, you know, think back to the 90s when this thing was really, really great.
Yes.
When you had Griffey and Bonds and McGuire. Those guys didn't care. Didn't mess up their swing. They kept on hitting home runs.
Yeah.
Now, they changed the format a little bit since then, but, I mean, wow, it was so cool to watch, like, Josh Hamilton literally
amazing.
Trying to hit it out of Yankee Stadium, and you thinking he might be able to.
Yeah.
Or Griffey hitting the building at Baltimore.
Right.
It was just so great to watch. But anyway, Ohtani in it, that's great.
Yes, it is. That's,
him being there will make people watch.
Yeah.
All right. We got some other stuff, but we're not going to be able to get to it. It was a good week on the recruiting trail for both OU and OSU. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Quinn Cummins as well. Might even hit that horrible story from down at Georgia. Man. Trying to protect your golf course, you go out and get shot in the head. That ain't no fun.
Good night.
Terrible. Anyhow, all right. Everybody have a great day. Hope you had a wonderful Independence Day. Probably a bunch of you are celebrating it today, being off work. Congratulations. Glad we could entertain you for just a little bit. Keep it locked right here. Sports Animal, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.